Hi, it's Craig here, episode 230 of the podcast. Hope you're well wherever you are. I'm going to devote a few episodes over the next month or so to the Women's World Football Cup or Soccer Cup that's being held in Australia and New Zealand, and as I'm in Sydney, and as football is a sport that I've mostly worked in and had a lot of experience with the Australian women's national team from 2014 to 18, I thought it would be good to chat about this as we go forward. Now, it started very well with big crowds, which is just great. And Australia got off to a really good start against the Republic of Ireland, winning 1-0. So was in front of 75,000 people, and I think the players handled that very well. And look, it wasn't the greatest of footballing performances, but who cares? Getting off to a start of winning 1-0, first game, home soil, a lot of pressure. And the big talking point was the captain and Australia's best player and one of the world's best players, Sam Kerr, having a calf injury a day out from the tournament start. Now, as someone that's involved in human performance and manages the performance of teams and that is an absolute nightmare for the sports science and sports medicine team. And there will be lots of questions that need to be asked about that. Losing a player of that status, just look, there's always luck involved, but something's really amiss for that to happen, and someone's got to take that responsibility. Hopefully it doesn't impact the chances too much, but it definitely has in some ways, because there's been a lot of media attention directed towards it. So I would be if that was my team, sports science, sports medicine team, you know, you just got to get on with things, because it's a long tournament. But really, that can't happen. It really, really can't happen. Can you imagine Argentina losing Messi a couple of days out from the World Cup? So, look, it's happened. We can discuss it at length afterwards. I hope people are holding up their hand for the responsibility and looking through the data and seeing that they don't lose other players, because that just really is problematic, what's happened there. However, I will say, in defense of the sports science, sports medicine team, these things do happen, and they have happened to me. But gosh, you would be deeply concerned. I hope they're concerned. I hope they're not passing the blame, because otherwise you'll miss other things that come up. It's about when these things happen and you do miss something like that in the data, finding out what you missed, how you missed it, and plugging that hole. And that's why it's a continuous learning journey in human performance. But enough on that. The player, Sam Kerr, and the coach handled it well, in respect to not announcing it to the media and keeping it quiet. So well done. I couldn't believe there was some criticism from people about this. Obviously, they have no idea about sport. You're under no obligation to say one of your players is injured. And why would you? It's like giving... might as well just give your tactics away. So there was, I think it was Dean Ritchie, a rugby league journalist, that said something, and I responded to that on social media. It's just crazy. And maybe he's just going for, you know, trying to get publicity by saying something controversial, but it was absolutely ridiculous what he said. So well done keeping it quiet. Well done to the girls recovering well. Well done to Sam Kerr for keeping a positive face. And look, the question will be asked how many games is she out for. That win has done the team very good in respect to also that Canada and Nigeria had a draw. I would not be playing her at all against Canada, because that's probably 11 days into the injury, 12 days into the injury, and then you've got a 7-day break after that. So you've always got to think with injuries like that, are they at 100% for them to perform, or are we just better having another player that is fully fit and fully functional? And I would go for the latter. The risk to reward is too great. And let's hope we get the victory against Nigeria, which seals the advancement. And I think the team without without Sam can do that, and then move into the Canada game and top the group. But you don't want to compound your initial error by rushing her back. And that takes discipline in respect to the staff to do that. I'm sure she's getting all the best treatment possible. But as I said at the start, I hope they've gone back and asked themselves, how was this missed? Because in a 6-week preparation for that to happen, geez. Yeah, anyway, we can discuss that later. Other things, just the crowds have been really positive, really big everywhere. My friend Alan Stadjic with his Philippines team lost 2-0 in the opening game. Now, he would never be happy losing points, but at least that game didn't blow out and put them really down and out. And they've got New Zealand coming up actually today, and let's hope they can get a result there for Alan and all the hard work they put in. You can't really comprehend what an incredible job he has done getting that team organized, increasing the fitness to a point where not only have they made the World Cup, but they are competitive. So it's incredible outcome for Alan, and just shows what a wonderful coach he does. And you know, I'm a bit biased, but geez, I think the Matildas would be in very good hands if he was still at the helm, but that's not to be, and all the best for Alan moving on. Other things that are really happening, I mean, it's just showing and enlightening the women's game how good it is. I get the feeling, you know, we often compare, okay, women's football to men's football, and I started to think that's a real issue. I was at a conference just recently, and I can't recall the name of the person, but someone very high up in women's football, a female, saying that, you know, that if men's football is the oak tree, and women's football started underneath the oak tree, it's now time for it to step away from the oak tree and build its own tree. Now, that's really a great concept, and I'm thinking, talking about infrastructure and that, but I think also tactics. You know, you're playing on the same size field, I think the game is very different. And if you're about winning, I was watching it the other day thinking, gee, this is just about winning. Not about the beautiful game, because really the beautiful game, who cares? It's about winning. But I'm looking at where the weaknesses are in teams, and you would have to say goalkeeping is a major one. So the simple thing about looking at, okay, corners become very, very important, and having your, you know, your tallest, strongest players really standing in that 6-yard area, the opportunity to score regularly is really there. So often I think people can get carried away with tactics, all these beautiful tactics and keeping the ball and that, but it might be a bit simpler with that than that if we're just about winning. That's just an interesting concept, but that's from a sports scientist, not a football coach. That's someone that sees things and can analyze things and go, maybe we're overcomplicating the game. And if we were to keep it simpler there might be some better results. Anyway, Australia's playing in a couple of days. I'm going to sit back and watch Stadger's team play New Zealand. If you've got any comments, please write to me, or any questions. But definitely, let's keep supporting the World Cup and enjoying it. Have a great day.